Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. What a gracious man to give his time. That's Pastor Flip Benham. Last hour, just a fabulous hour, describing, of course, the circumstances and the events that took place at the meeting with Donald Trump, presumptive nominee for the Republican presidential ticket here in 2016. Before we get back to Pastor Benham, who has been gracious enough to hold over, and I've got numerous questions for him. Before we get back to Pastor Benham, I just want to remind everyone, folks, healthmasters.com, Doug 5. Look, that expires tomorrow at midnight. Everything at healthmasters.com on sale if you use the promo code at checkout, Doug 5, 5% off of your order. Take advantage of that. And you heard tonight as well, prepare. Well, hey, American Survival Wholesale. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Go there for their Independence Day special. That package that they put together, 380 servings of food for $180, you can't beat that with a big stick. Okay, it's amazing. So both companies, both partners, Christian-owned, veteran-owned company, American Survival Wholesale, Christian-owned company, Health Masters, fine products.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And again, we're joined by Reverend Flip Benham. He was at the New York City meeting of evangelical leaders with Donald Trump. And from the emails and some of the comments I see, there seems to be some confusion. We're not attacking Donald Trump, nor are we attacking his belief system.
Yeah, what is being... Why the confusion? Here's my problem, and let me just give you a 30-second rant. Why the confusion? Because I find most people who do say, well, this is what you said. No. Stop typing and listen. And I say that with a little bit of anger, but a lot of love, okay? Listen to what is being said. And if you... I'm going to stop there. Pastor, or Reverend, I'm sorry. Thank you for holding over. We're not against Donald Trump, are we? I mean, you're not. Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Uh-oh. Reverend Benham, if you're there.
I'm sorry, I muted that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, forgive me. I just think that we are just not seeing Donald Trump for what he is, the donkey that God is using to bring us to our knees, and to see that there's a man that's speaking forthrightly and very clearly on issues that everybody else is afraid to take up, and yet nevertheless he does, and he serves, he is just serving, I want to say that he's serving his father, but he doesn't know the God of the Bible. Not yet. I pray that he does. But he is a guy that is speaking more forthrightly than we pastors, than we evangelicals. And he is. And he's certainly speaking a lot better than and more forthrightly and with more courage than our Republican leadership. That's a fact. And you're beginning to see in Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney a real hatred that's coming out of them. I mean, they're being revealed for what they are. They do not like Donald Trump. Look at his enemies, Mitch McConnell. Just look at George Will. Just look at the guys. They hate him with a hatred that is so visceral. It is just like the hatred that Hillary Clinton. These leaders seem to love Hillary more than Donald Trump. They fear Donald Trump more than her. And you just look at this huge list of enemies that Trump has. People that just never Trump. I hate him. And anybody that dares to disagree with me, well, you're a heretic. It's almost like we lose friendships over this. And so you're beginning to see the battle lines being really drawn very squarely. You're going to have to make a decision as to who you're going to serve. And that, first of all, you're going to have to see, what is God doing with Donald Trump? And when you see it, you all of a sudden see the big division. He's making it clear for us that there's a divide between the seed of the serpent, which is my rights, my body, my choice, my thing. I do what I want whenever I want. My one commandment is don't judge me. And the seed of the woman that says, not my will, but thine be done. You were bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That there's a huge division here. And you're finding Republicans that you thought were your friends are really a part of the seed of the serpent. You just watch Paul Ryan. There's no reason that he needs to be making speeches against Donald Trump like this, but he doesn't see Donald Trump as anything but an enemy of him and his position. The same with Mitch McConnell. The same with the several other Republicans that are up there. You're seeing that they see him as far greater enemy than Hillary Rodham Clinton. Some of them are even so odd audacious and arrogant, trying in their one-upmanship, saying, I'm going to vote for Hillary. Mm-hmm. Which is shocking, to say the least. I mean, you're going to vote for a lady that is absolutely pro-abortion. Everything that she's for, God is against. Everything God is against, she's for. She is totally the seed of the serpent. And the answer is yes, because these Republicans want their position and value their position more than anything else. That's why I always say that conservatism is pretend salt. And it's pretend salt because it seeks the vote of salt. It talks like salt. It likes to be the friend of salt. And it makes all sorts of promises to salt. But when the test of taste comes in, it is revealed for what it really is. And this is the Republican Party, a tasteless enabler of perdition, of sin. And that's what they're doing. And we've been voting for these Republicans for so long, and they have proved themselves over and over again that they will never, ever stand, that for them, the attainment of office or the remaining in office is the summum bonum. You know what's the problem with conservatism? It has never found a cause for which it is willing to die. Christianity is what Rush Limbaugh longs for. You know, yes. He's wondering, why do these people always fail us? Well, they're always going to fail us because they're not Christians. They don't have the key of the golden triangle, which is virtue, character, virtue in their heart to stand and say that it's not about me. It's about my nation. It's about me laying my life down and giving the gifts that I have as best as I can to lift up this nation and lift up the God of this nation. That's Christianity. We've found a cause for which we're willing to die, and we're not going to back up. And listen, we're not going to just want a place at the table. I don't want a place at the table. I don't want to eat the crumbs that you throw me, little legislative pieces of junk. I don't want it. I want to kick the table over in the name of Jesus Christ and proclaim that he is the king. And he is the one that made America great, and we want to make America great again. And so we're going to unloose the Holy Spirit. We're going to turn loose the Lion of Judah. You know, we don't have to protect our God. We just have to open the cage and let the Lion of Judah out. He'll do real good taking care of himself. And this is what we as Christians have to understand, that we have this incredible power at our hands. But right now we're arguing over the minutiae. I read these emails, strains, and I see, you know, what these guys are saying, and I don't want to have any part in the silliness, the gossip, the one-upsmanship of a bunch of brilliant guys who have shoehorned Almighty God into their own comfortable little boxes, and they demand that everybody else agree with them, and if you don't, you're a heretic, and they're trying to insist that everybody do what they do. These are a bunch of guys and gals that take great pains, and then they give them to everyone else. And believe me, Doug and Joe, I know that you're getting that pain. They like to give you pain.
Oh, yeah, you got that right, Pat. Reverend, I need to ask you this, because this is something, and this is a question from me, my heart. Here I am, just a normal guy, really wanting to be obedient. I'm in my Bible. But you know, Christianity, as you exhibit, is not a passive endeavor. It's active. You are at the tip of the spear. You're in the game. You're wearing a shoe leather out at these murdering mills. You're doing a whole lot of good for a whole lot of reasons. I mean, you are in the game. Now here I am. And I'll speak for Joe too. Here we are, just a couple of guys trying to be obedient. And here's what we get a lot of times. Hey, you know what? You're not getting it, Doug. For example, when I speak of, the political issues, and we talk about, well, we talk about Donald Trump. Well, you shouldn't, you've got to trust in God. Of course, we trust in God. Of course, we have to pray. I understand all of that. But we are accused of being too much in the world. In other words, well, you know what? You should rely on, people say this, my vote, who am I voting for this election? I'm voting for Jesus Christ. Okay. You know what, Reverend? I can't find him on the ballot. All right. Now.
Yeah, he's not there.
Yeah. Okay. So, but we had, the only person I trust is Jesus. I understand that mentality, but I'm getting accused of being in the world and of the world, but we can't be passive as Christians. We have to go out there and we have to pick up the sword and fight, metaphorically speaking, of course. Don't we? I mean, help me out. Help me understand this.
Pick up the cross.
Absolutely. That's what we're called to do. And you're going to be hated and despised by some of your very best friends, because Jesus unites his enemies and he divides his friends, believe me. And in this particular election, if you don't see God's hand at work, you're going to find out that you're going to be kicking against the goats, and that God is going to become your enemy. And it's going to be your choice, because God is making some things very, very clear. And I hope that as we, you know, we've been just chatting back and forth, that there are lines being drawn which are going to separate a lot of friends. Really, friends that you have, Joe, friends that I have, Doug, you guys. I mean, and because you're people that are out there, you're going to get all of this stuff, and everybody's going to insist that if you don't get in with me, and if you don't support who I support, then you're no Christian, or I'm not going to have anything more to do with you, or, oh, I thought you were something, but I see that you're something else. Look, that's just the way it's going to be in this world, and God is going to separate his friends, but what we have to do is follow God. And, you know, hopefully it's going to breed more and more courage and breathe more and more courage into you and into me as we walk. And we're going to have to take a lot of hits. We're going to take a lot of hits. But I know that God is, when I read these strains in these emails, and I see the self-righteousness and pharisaical attitude of some of our brothers who are on this email strain, it is sickens me. It makes my, I literally just want to say, shut up. Just stop writing. Just like what you said, stop typing and listen. You know, a fool has no delight in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. That's the Proverbs. And we've got some guys that are brilliant, and they are guys that, you know, can manipulate almost anybody into trying to, you know, to shoehorn them into their point of view. But our God is more brilliant than any guy that we have that's on this earth. He is our God. He is, you know, omniscient. He knows everything. You know, most of us don't know everything, although some of us really think that we do, even though we keep saying that I'm your humble, you know, correspondent here. But the fact of the matter is that our God is going somewhere, and I have eyes to see. My question is, do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? God is speaking through the jawbone of a donkey. His name is Donald Trump. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you know? And until we get there, there is no dealing with the arguments on the other side. And God's word, it's either going to soften you or harden you. And it all depends on you. And that's a fact. I mean, the same sun that softens the wax is going to harden the clay. And the sun doesn't change. It's just the makeup of the material. So the question is, what kind of soil am I? I mean, I used to be the guy that would say that to vote for the lesser of two evils is evil still. I believe that that is very true. But when you have two different tracks going into the White House, you're going to vote for one or the other. You say, well, no, I'll write somebody's name in. And you can do that, and that would be fine. And you know what? I have to let you do that because I want you to be obedient to your conscience. Don't you let that go. You obey your conscience. But I am seeing God do some incredible things, and I have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to do, but I'm not ready to say it, but I've got a pretty good idea of exactly what I'm going to do. And one of those things is that we're going to get back into the city hall here at Charlotte, and we're going to take it over. It's just this, that simple. I can't control all the things about presidential stuff. I'm going to vote in that presidential election because your vote is the currency of your virtue. And you need to vote that as honestly as you can. But if you start getting involved in all these email things and you start picking on Doug and Joe and you start picking on all of these other guys and trying to pick them apart, you're going to find that you're just going to rip each other apart completely. And some of us just have to hush. And I pray that there'll be no more email strains. Maybe that's the greatest prayer. God, stop us from writing these email things.
And it's really something to see this take place. Reverend, we are seeing such a divide right now. And I hope people really understand what you said, because it is very profound that about this election, about God using Donald Trump, and about what's taking place. Can't you see it? You said that a couple of times. Can't you see what's taking place? And, you know, Reverend, and I'm going to shut up here at this point, but after I say this, I sit in the quiet of the morning, and I scour the headlines, and I look at the different, the email dialogues, and I read them. I never respond. I never, but you know what? I sit there and I contemplate, and I'm thinking, I'm witnessing history, a marvelous, exciting, somewhat frightening, changing, forever changing history. And I wonder how many people are really seeing, Reverend, what you just said. How many people really, I mean, not the inch deep and a mile wide, no, but the true significance of what you just said.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know something about seeing things. And you know, I think the most perfect example that we have is Jesus. So if that's the case, I just think I'll take you back to John chapter 5 and pick up in verse 19. Jesus is answering the Pharisees who are upset with him for healing on the Sabbath. You know, if he was really God, he wouldn't be healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus seemed to on purpose heal on the Sabbath because he was looking for a fight. And he knew what was going on. He wanted to expose to them their own hypocrisy. So he's healing people on the Sabbath. And these folks are just getting upset and saying that he's trying to make himself equal with God. And in John 5:19, Jesus gives us these words. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Look, this is open for you and me and every Christian who is born again. God is showing us what he's doing. Now the world doesn't see this. Don't expect that Donald Trump's going to figure this out. He's got to be surrounded by a lot of guys that have eyes that see. And believe me, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Yeah, so this right there, if you're expecting Donald Trump to see this, you're wrong. But a lot of you that claim Christ, what do you see God doing right now? Is he just making you mad because he's using somebody that you don't think he should use? Somebody that's been married three times and boasts about having trysts with everyone. You upset that he's using somebody like that? You don't think that he can? Or do you have God in your little box and you're not going to let him out, and you're going to allow your theology to keep you a prisoner, and you're not going to be able to see what God is doing? Listen to what Jesus said. He says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You know what? We need to see what God is doing and then engage ourselves in the very same activity. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And the Son is showing us all that he does. I see God working. I hope that you do. I hear his voice, and I hope that you do. I hear it right through the scripture. And I have a heart that understands, and that's only because God has broken into my hardened heart. And by the way, that heart, it needs to be renewed every day. I die daily, and I mean that, brethren. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that we have to have eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands and will apprehend his truth. And then let's join with God in this incredible endeavor. This journey from now until November is going to be an exciting journey with many, many turns. And if you will follow him, by the time you walk into that booth, if you don't get stuck in your own theology and get stuck there really bad, you're going to see some things that you thought you would never see. You're going to hear some things, and they're going to be wonderful things. They're going to be great things, because we're going to go through a turmoil. And God, listen, we don't hear God yet. Remember, 94% of the pastors feel that they are successful. They do. They don't feel like they have done anything to repent of, and at least according to George Barna. And so where are we? Well, we're not calling out to God. Well, God knows how to make us cry.
Amen.
He does.
Flip, you said something at the beginning of when you came on about the fact that people were wondering if Trump repented, and that you were shown that it wasn't about that. It was about the people who were there, the leaders in the Christian community.
Amen.
The voices, that they are the ones that needed to repent. And I think as a whole, the body of Christ, we all need to repent. And
Amen.
We need to make sure that, the obedience, the dedication, and with a pure heart, we are carrying out the Lord's will, and or are at least open and willing and wanting the Lord's will to be working in our life. Everybody's so quick to point the finger, yet they'll never point it at themselves.
Well said. That is so very true. We are good at seeing the speck, and we really miss the log. It's in our own eye. But that's the way we are. We're people. And, you know, I'm smiling right now just because, you know, God has given me the privilege. One of the great things that we have is Eric Metaxas' book, and it's, I haven't even read it yet. But, man, when I heard him talking the way he was, I said, you know what, this guy is seeing things, and he's seeing it through our founding fathers. One of the ways that we can see what God is doing is by what he has done in history, through the Bible and the providential history of America. There would be no Declaration of Independence were it not for the Great Awakening of, you know, of Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield from 1740 to 1760, that just prepared the way and prepared hearts for an incredible constitution that was given to us that would make us one nation under God. And it was God that united us. This is the thing. American can never be great again until America's church is great again. We can do this. We have the keys. And we can unlock and unloose, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And this is what God is looking for. He's just looking for an excuse to show up. Let's give him an excuse this November. Let's give him an excuse. God, I'm beginning to see, and I might need another touch. You know, I see men walking as trees, but Lord, touch me again so that I can see clearly what it is. And he will. He'll give you a second touch. He will. And his Holy Spirit will begin to give you eyes that all of a sudden the scales will be taken off and you will be free to see and you will be engaged. And God will use you powerfully. And believe me, we need men like that today to help guide us, to lead us to the place where God would have us to be.
Amen. And Flip, I know we kept you over the time we talked about, and you're free to stay till the end of the show.
I've got email questions.
Okay. Absolutely.
Would that be all right? Listen, I love you guys. Thank you so much for the privilege. You are doing well. And brother, you are coming forth as pure gold. So don't worry about all those emails. God's bringing forth as pure gold. Thank you for the privilege of being with you.
Reverend, thank you so much. The duct tape has been broken. I guess we can't keep him down that long. Reverend Benham, thank you for taking so much of your time out of your day. God bless you, my friend. Thank you,
Joe. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Reverend Flip Benham, folks. On fire or what?
OperationSaveAmerica.org is his website. That's OperationSaveAmerica.org. It's in the description in the YouTube and blog talk.
Joe, if I can pop in here real quick. You know, we talked about something yesterday, and I really, really, really want to make sure that, of all people, you talk about doers, you talk about people on the front lines, you talk about individuals who are making a difference. You know, one of my favorite people, America's coach, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Oh my goodness. You know, he is taking, where's my note here?
PTSalt.com is his website for those unfamiliar.
Coach Dave Live, okay, is the, Coach Dave Live. That's the website. He is, I don't know if he hijacked or, what he did, but he's got a tractor trailer that he's, of food he's taking down to West Virginia to the flood victims.
Wow.
In fact, some of our listeners. Yes. So let's help him out. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. He only needs a couple of grand, really, to get the job done. We, as a family, the Hagmans have given a little bit. And I would urge everyone to go to CoachDaveLive.com and click on the donate button. Let's help him get this tractor trailer full of food down to West Virginia.
Absolutely.
Okay, please. And just let him know you heard it on our show, because he's making a difference. I mean, Coach is like an Energizer bunny. I mean, you wind him up and he's out there just going great guns. God bless that man. So I just want to sneak that in there. Talking about Donald Trump, and folks, say what you will, I've been wrestling with this, and this is something that I've talked to.
I think everybody has.
Well, no, not this. I see a situation. There's a lethal cocktail of anger. There's a lethal cocktail mm-hmm. of danger. Pray for the safety of that man. Now,
you know, we talk about the power of prayer on this show and how the listeners of the show support us through many ways, you know, prayer, guest suggestions, sending us letters, making donations, however people do it. But we don't know where we would be without your prayers. And
we'd be dead in the water, basically.
You know, the difference of something being averted or something miraculous happening could just be the difference of a single prayer from one believing Christian.
Exactly. Well, again, I see, and I've been told this. I have no, let me be clear. There is no specific intelligence to suggest this at all. However, I've been cautioned to really watch because the headlines could change in a heartbeat. The anger, the resentment against Donald Trump is just off the charts. Now, think about this. Is there that anger against Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton? No. No. But it is against Donald Trump. But you see, it's manufactured anger. It's orchestrated anger. It's orchestrated through the dollars, the money, one thing our enemies have that we don't have. Now, when I say we, I'm talking about Christians and socially conservative Christians specifically. They are far more organized and much more well-funded than we are.
Paul McGuire talks about this. He's going to be on our show tomorrow, and he's not the only one. Ted Breuer has brought this up. Steve Quayle, last time he was on, talked about this. You know, the fastest-growing religion in the United States is Wicca, according to Russ Dizdar. But more importantly, when we look at the satanic ritual that took place on 6/6/16 in L.A., when we look at the rise of the Satanism, the symbols, the statues, the literature, and even you can turn to the homosexual agenda, the organization, the dedication to the abortion industry, the unity. It's almost like when you read about Leviathan in Job in chapter 41, I believe it is, where it talks about the scales are so close together that no air can flow between them. We don't have a united front in Christianity. We are divided by theology, by doctrines, and denominations. If we had half of the organizational skills and devotion to being organized and on the same page, imagine the difference we could make. It's community mentality.
Yeah. You know what, Joe, and we run into this all the time, don't we, that we know that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Now, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a reverend. I'm the furthest thing from those than you can ever. Believe me, I'm not that. Okay. But one thing I've noticed, in my capacity as an investigator, and I've investigated a lot of people in 30 years. I watch what people do and listen to what people say, and I look for clues. I guess is a word.
He thinks he's the mentalist.
Yeah, <I'm> really. That was a program, right?
Yeah, the mentalist? There was some kind of guy who solved crimes via, I think, perception and
whatever
body language math. I don't know, something like that.
Well, you know, by the way, some of the best interviews I've ever conducted, and I'll say this with as an investigator, inside the walls of prisons are the ones where I went in and sat down and didn't say a word or said very little. And there's an uneasiness that develops almost immediately. if the incarcerated individual knows, for example, and they always do, because you there's a lot of things you have to do before you visit an inmate to interview them. So they know why you're there. But if you sit there and just watch and listen, you can learn a lot. But what I see, having said that, laying that as a foundation, as an investigator, what I see taking place in the Christian community, and this does extend into the conservative community, is that people are taking the role as accusers of the brethren and causing division by making accusations of non-salvational doctrinal divides or disagreements. And I wonder to myself if some of these people are doing this intentionally, or if they're doing this, you know, in good faith. I understand. I don't agree, but I understand, because if we are in a battle, and we are a united front, or if we are Christians fighting a common enemy, that's evil, of all stripes, then do we really have time to look at the person next to us in the foxhole and say, hey, you know what, your boots are dirty, or you're whatever. Do we have time for that? I don't think we do. Now, if they have a gun, if their gun is pointed at, you know, the wrong way, of course you've got to make a correction. But you see, this is an issue, I believe, and especially in the political venue among conservatives, this is where the progressive left, communist, Fabian socialist, Marxist individuals, this is exactly what they are exploiting on our side. They're exploiting this division, and they're gaining ground by it. Are they not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So rather than being an accuser, making accusations, and pushing people down, give them a hand up. That's just my observation. And for those who are quick to say, wait a minute, this is what I think, you can learn a lot by just sitting and listening, watching. And pretty soon, the person sitting across from you will reveal where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
Just my two cents.
You know, most demons, most witches, occultists, and even Satan himself knows scripture front and backwards. They use this secret stealth to deceive and bring about the apostasy that we see before us today. And when we as Christians don't know the Bible as well as those who use it against us, we put ourselves at a huge disadvantage. And there's so much more, you know, we can talk about when it pertains to the Bible perception and dealing with one another. But I know one thing's for certain. Jesus made very clear that we are to love and to forgive endlessly. We're not to hate. We're not to be rioters or people who start trouble in word or in action. But we are to be there for people in season and out of season. And looking at what Coach Dave's doing in West Virginia, the floods, 1,200 homes have been lost, and over 23 lives. This week in West Virginia, it says on CNN from an article today, the West Virginians likely will escape any more. This week, West Virginians likely will escape any more of the flooding that has wreaked havoc across several counties, taking 23 lives. A figure authority warned may rise. But for the families on Millhouse Road and White Sulphur Springs, many of them kin, and any new flooding would hardly make things worse. 11 houses stood on the road near Howard Creek last Thursday. 3 remain. And they go on, this article goes on to talk about the residents and to talk about the destruction and how they, the whole community and surrounding communities have been irreversibly changed. But so often in these times of tragedy, there are those who are heroes, and then there are those who do what they can. I mean, everybody who does what they can to help another is a hero. Many people will hide out of fear and being timid, but those people who step up to help others, that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for somebody indifferent, somebody looking to save themselves by not risking themselves for another. And while you have a state of emergency, while you do have people trying to take advantage of the situation through looting, as sad as it is to say, tragedies like this will bring communities together and will bring them together much stronger. The floods last week damaged or destroyed more than 1,200 homes, 500 in Roanoke County, 70 businesses destroyed, 200 to 300 severely damaged homes and businesses. That's just in one county. These are the highest death tolls since May 2010, when 27 people died in Tennessee, Kentucky, and Mississippi. But as I said at the beginning, reading in this article, the West Virginia death toll may still climb. There are 3 people unaccounted for in one county alone. Children have been lost. And this, as I said, there's a state of emergency. But this is where the test comes in, because we're all going to face times like these in different situations like these in our own way. We're all going to be looking down the barrel of a proverbial gun, per se. And how are you going to act?
Yep.
I mean, are you going to save yourself, or are you going to join together, do what's right, and help those around you?
You know, and that's another
thing.
Like
Coach Dave is
doing.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's why.
Well, yeah, I mean, Coach Dave does not have time to call people on the carpet and say you're doing this wrong or that wrong. He's out there, you know, helping people. And this is what we all need to be doing, is we need to be joining forces and fighting against the evil that has been so pervasive and is so pervasive in our society. And whether the political landscape is right now so bad, you're seeing globalists right now having meltdowns. You're really, in my view, you're seeing globalists for what they are. Are we not? You've got the CFR people coming out and saying,
The report on InfoWars, CFR member calls on elites to rise up against ignorant masses.
Exactly.
Wealthy heir to Bloomingdale's chain sneers at populist voters who cherish values and tradition.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to watch this, because these are the enemies. These are our common enemies, or the people who are attempting to eradicate Christianity, to eradicate free speech, to take away your gun rights. I was talking with an individual today, who said he fully expects, he's a businessman, and he says, you know something? I never paid attention to current events until the last year or so. And he said, now I'm seeing exactly what we talk about, and that we are right now the targets of the globalists. And I was amazed at his level of understanding. And he also said this, Joe, to me, and a young man, younger, relative young. He said, I am not, I'm not going to, die on my knees. I'm going to live on my feet.
Yeah.
So.
And what, this, James Tarab wrote a column for Foreign Policy Magazine. As a member of Council on Foreign Relations, said that the elite need to rise up against the mindlessly angry, ignorant masses in order to prevent globalization from being derailed by the populist revolt that has led to Brexit and the rise of Donald Trump. Now think about this. Let's put this into perspective.
By the way, Kissinger blamed Obama for Brexit. But anyway, go on. Go on.
Globalization, if you believe that there is a group of people working to bring about an end of the nation-state era for a globalist society, you are a domestic extremist, according to the Department of Homeland Security.
And please, don't take these titles lightly. Remember when Alex Jones got on and talked about the lexicon, about the...
DHS lexicon.
Do not take these titles lightly, these labels lightly. Understand, you are on a list, and understand that those lists are well...
And I mean, I have the lexicon here. There's Christian identity on it, anti-government movement, and it even, there's a specific category for people who believe that there is a secret cabal trying to bring about a globalist utopian. But concern that today's citizen revolt in the U.S., Britain, and Europe may upend politics as nothing else has in my lifetime, Traub notes, that Brexit was an utter repudiation of bankers and economists and an example of how extremism has gone mainstream. Citing the potential for Trump to split the Republican Party even if he loses and the increasing unpopularity of France's social government, Traub argues that establishment political parties in major Western countries must combine forces to keep out the nationalists. With prospects of flat growth in Europe and minimal income in the U.S., votes are rebelling against their dismal long-term prospects, writes Traub.
Understand the label of nationalist. These are Tavistock-type labels. 1984 lexicon. Being a nationalist is a bad thing, okay? You know, God... Am I wrong? But God was very serious. Well, he was very serious about borders. Read the Bible. And yeah, he was concerned about borders, God.
Yes, he was.
All right. So, and many equate being a nationalist with,
in more than one way, in God. Because when you look at the establishment of the state of Israel, but then you look at what happened with the Tower of Babel. When he confounded the language of the one world government to bring it to 70 different languages in 70 different nations, spreading them across the face of the earth.
Right, but that does not... Okay, so
and
you're talking about
two different
objectives here.
Well, right, Israel being God's timepiece and the country of his creation. But going back, you know, what was Babylon, the Tower of Babel all about, and Nimrod.
Well,
one mind and one language.
Right.
And nothing could be stopped that was in their imaginations. And they wanted to build a tower to heaven. And God and his archangels came down and saw what they were doing and confounded their language. It's even in the Bible they say, let us do this before the Lord comes down and confounds our language and spreads us across the face of the earth.
But the Tower of Babel, of course, was the purpose.
Right.
Much more complex. Than merely, you know, building a skyscraper, basically.
How did he resolve that situation?
Meaning what?
He took the people who were all of one language and created 70 different nations and languages.
Right, exactly.
But this Traub goes on to say that pro-Trump Republican bases are know-nothings who are concerned with values and traditions, stressing that push for further globalization will pit poor and non-white and marginal citizens against working and middle-class whites, who he describes as angry fist shakers. Traub admits his outlook is elitist, but that it is necessary to say that people are deluded and that the task of leadership is to undelude them.
Well, okay. Anyone who is a leader, if you're a leader of a group, it's up to you to direct that group. If you're a boss, if you're an executive, if you're a CEO, the buck stops with you. So yes, you've got to be a leader. However, there's a difference between leadership and the hubris of classifying people as ignorant masses, you know, part of the ignorant masses. This is nothing more than hubris that we're seeing from these globalists. And they do feel threatened. So if Donald Trump did nothing else or has done nothing else, he has certainly exposed, whether wittingly or not, this divide, the objectives of the globalists.
Back to this lexicon.
Yeah.
Let me go through some of these terms that the Department of Homeland Security released March 26, 2009. Just search DHS lexicon 2009. This is some of the extremisms. One, alternative media, a term used to describe various information sources that provide a forum for interpretation of events and issues that differ radically from those presented in mass media outlets. Anti-abortion extremism, a movement or group of individuals who are virulently anti-abortion and advocate violence against providers and abortion-related services.
But see how they throw in violence?
Right. Another one, anti-immigration extremist, a movement of groups or individuals who are opposed to illegal immigration.
Look, these are all globalist initiatives.
And they say that they believe that they are highly critical of the U.S. government's response to illegal immigration and oppose government programs that are designed to extend rights to illegal aliens, such as issuing driver's license, medical benefits, in-state tuition.
And folks, let me just say this. The
Christian identity.
Our listeners know these labels. I will say this in closing here of tonight's program. What Obama is doing right now, and this is well sourced, he has pulled out all the stops. He is doing the Jarrett dance. Jarrett, of course, saying there's going to be hell to pay on the other side of the election 2012. Well, now all of the stops are being pulled. He's having court companies that are subcontracting to ICE, DHS, and other agencies just import illegals into this country. He is exacerbating the racial and class divides. And he's doing this. And somebody had asked me earlier today, do you think that there's going to be an election? I think there's going to be an election like you've never seen before in the history of this country. I think it's going to be...
We came across some information today that...
Very... Go ahead.
I mean, I'm not going to even talk about it, but there is some hanky-panky going on with... law enforcement,
levels, yeah.
Intelligence agencies mainly, and Donald Trump, and the removal of the Republican nominee for president before he gets his
chance. And I think a lot of people are not going, the majority of the population out there, what's coming, I don't believe the majority of the population, those people who do not listen to the new media or independent media, or those people who don't believe what we're saying, I believe that they're going to wake up one day and just be, you know, smacked upside the head and wondering what happened. Because I do believe there will be things that they're never going to see what's about to happen. So anyway, we're at the end of the program. Tomorrow night, Paul McGuire.
His book is available, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017.
That's right.
He's been doing the rounds on a number of radio shows. Go to paulmcguire.us to get a sneak peek at some of the issues that he'll be talking on tomorrow. He's got some great new stuff up there on his
website.
We're
on the HagmanReport.com. It'll be on our website as well.
He talks about the Brexit, as well as what has happened in Turkey. And the coming money system crisis that he talks about.
And it followed the money on Brexit, followed the money on all of these issues, because it is really about the wealth, the confiscation of your wealth, and oh boy, it's coming. We're headed for it. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being part of our family. Thanks for your support. Thanks for being you, each and every one of you. I just want to say that tomorrow night, Paul McGuire, thank you, Global Star Radio Network, and everyone who has listened, prayed, and been a part of our lives. Until tomorrow, God bless. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.